Oh, good game, Go Team. I don't know what I'm gonna use for the pre-ramble joke, but this is all good. This is all good material. Good job, everybody. Probably
Yeah,
spider
no.
stuff. That seems like it's
Spider stuff
gonna be
is the weird
safe.
stuff.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's safe.
Yeah, you can
I
use
can't
it's
do look,
safe.
I can't do the Linkin
He
Park as
doesn't
an
want to piss
opening
off
joke. I
half of
can't
his
do
audience
that.
with the Lauren Boebert
And
stuff.
I can't do the Lauren Boebert stuff because I'm
Why
gonna piss
not?
off because I dude,
You're gonna piss off half of our audience? I doubt that.
four people could get very angry.
That's
That's
the projected outcome right there.
what it is. Oh, we lost half our audience. How many people is
We've
that? Four.
Will has been talking to people down in an internet marketing group down there on at the main floor, and they said that we're going to lose a whole bunch of listeners if we do that joke.
You're
It
losing
doesn't
them
play
in the
well with it doesn't play well with our target demographic. The fuck is our target demographic?
Welcome to the Save vs. Poison podcast, the podcast dedicated to gaming, general geekery, and enduring sobriety in an ever maddening society. With your host, Will, and two guys that probably live under his stairs. If you're an addict, know an addict, or are just interested in exploring the outer mysteries of geekery, you're in the right place. Without further ado, let's get to the show. Oh my God, welcome back. All you beautiful people to this week's episode. Man, we missed last week, and that is actually, so that's the first freaking episode of this show that we've ever missed in 135 episodes of this show, because of some scheduling stuff and busy stuff and life shit. Yeah, mistakes were made, and we didn't put in an episode last week. So yeah, anyways, my name is Will. I'm your host. Joining me tonight are just, they're both just the flea market version of podcast co-hosts, but both of them at the same time. I walked past the display with the $5 knives and the $3 silver chains. And actually the one guy with the comic book, booth, he actually had a nice, setup, but then there they were, a couple of guys just standing there wearing, really tight turtlenecks. Both of you. I don't know why you do that. That's so weird. Really, really tight turtlenecks. Anyways, I got Steve and Tiki with me tonight as usual. And I'm excited to have him here. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening, Steve.
Yes, Cuban B. How are you, Steve? How are things? How's life?
Life is irritating.
It's in progress. I always like the default back to life is in progress. That's what life is. Yay!
Love to tell you that it's good. Been rather annoying.
Okay. Do you have something to share tonight?
Well, just, you know, dumb stuff.
Dumb
work
stuff. Okay.
Work is having some issues, and consequently I've had to be at another location, and
mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
It is weighing on your mental health, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Except for that it's not fine.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Like, you can't really complain because you still have a job and still getting paid. But your routine is fucked up and you're having to do
it so much.
Menial
and,
bullshit, right?
And, like, I think part of it is that just, you know, sometimes you can't help feeling how you feel, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fuck, I hate it.
Well, like, one of the things that I think is interesting is that feelings come from a place, and it's usually like an understandable place. It might not be a like logically justifiable place, but these feelings come from somewhere. They don't just randomly spring up. And just, you know, assuming that when you have a feeling that you can intellectualize as being, you know, a little bit offsides, you start feeling weird about it. And it's like, no, just feel your feeling, get through it, you know, work on whatever's getting you, you know, into where you are, and you know, move on with your fucking life. Like, you don't have to dwell on it,
but I do.
Well, for a little bit
but
least.
I do.
How much dwelling do you do? Do you dwell in darkness?
Yes, actually.
Okay, you dwell
I couldn't
in darkness.
Sleep the other night. I was so upset about
Oh, really?
It.
Damn, dude.
I was literally dwelling in darkness.
Wow, that is unfortunate. Just laying there, tossing and turning.
Yeah, yeah. Just
your
all
eyes
staying up.
That is when caffeine doesn't work to keep you awake. Laying in bed at night and thinking about everything you've ever done that's embarrassed you and how you can't change any of it.
I'm not worried about the embarrassing shit. It's about that irritates me.
No, I think Tiki's got a good point though. Like that dovetails all right. That's okay. Like it doesn't have to be specific to you, Steve. I like it.
Okay, how about this? Just sitting up worrying for the sake of worrying over shit you probably can't change. Especially things that have happened in the past, which you're not going to change unless you can time travel. Yeah, that's the best way to stay awake right there, dude. You can stay awake all night long just fidgeting and being, you know, I do it sometimes.
Beats caffeine every time.
Wait.
That's not true. I don't do that.
Steve, can you time travel? Is that why you have the curly mustache? Because you're expecting to go back to
1875? It's why you now have the job you have.
It's why I have the job I have? Thanks, buddy. Really appreciate that. I don't know how that works. You'll have to tell me the timeline
some
on that.
Some sort of time travel thing.
Sure. Tiki, how the hell are you, my friend?
Well, I'm all right, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah, not much to write home about.
Okay. But,
just work stuff. Just I was really stressed about work stuff, and then other work stuff happened, and I've been not on edge. It's just that. I'll just say it this way. We kind of went through like a bit of a layoff at work. And in IT, cybersecurity is generally not touched. We're usually immune to layoffs. And this round we weren't. And somebody on my team got let go, and it was just a little bit shocking. And, someone's got to pick up the slack. He has a ton of work that he was doing. So I have been delegated a bunch of it by my boss, and I am trying to get caught up. So. Work has been busy. It's been a little busier and a little bit stressful. But other than that, it's.
Now, I'd say that's perfect. Job security, but.
Could be.
That guy just got laid off, so you don't know where you stand.
He was one of the more senior people on my team, too.
Oh, wow.
So actually, he was by title, he was the senior architect.
Did he ship the boss's wife or something?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you're a cybersecurity specialist. Hack the matrix. Hack the planet.
It doesn't work quite like that.
What?
It's a little bit more nuanced. Generally, the first thing you do when you're trying to hack into something is you pick up the phone and you call somebody and say, "Hey, can I have your username and password?"
How often do people fall for that? I gotta ask.
About 3 out of 10 times.
3 out of 10. We have 30% real dumb people in the world.
Well, in certain organizations, it can be a lot worse, especially if you, like, send an email that's like, "Hey, you're eligible for an iPhone upgrade for free.
Nice.
Send me your username and password." And they're like, "Oh, my God, my username and password? That's all I got to give you? And then you'll give me a free iPhone?" And I'm like, "Yeah,
sure." I would love it if the email came back with just a sure. Like,
yeah
and a picture of you with a thumbs up, like. Looking kind of Buddy Christ-ish.
Like a gif of somebody just patting somebody's head. It's gonna happen. That's the best way to hack the matrix right there. It's just like I said, make a quick and easy phone call to somebody who's gonna give you their information, and people will do it. So often it's disturbing. It's just like I said, it's having a senior member of the team go out is a little bit shocking.
Yeah. I imagine.
I mean, I still love my job. I still like what I do quite a bit.
Sure.
And I like the company I work for. And there's a lot of really cool things, you know, in my area that are coming up that I'm excited about. But that happening and then like me getting the additional workload is like, oh shit. My boss is like, "I need you to do all of this stuff." And I was like, "All right, it's fine." I've been like held up on so many other things, and I've had so many other projects on hold and other work streams on hold and everything else paused, that giving me extra work just means I now have like, you know, something to do while I'm waiting for other things to kind of come unstuck. But yeah, it's just work stuff. Other than that, I've been okay. Had my birthday on Sunday. Didn't do anything.
Happy birthday, friend.
Just rode my motorcycle. Had a really fun time doing that.
Nice.
And then took my, and then took my computer and just went and played online for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Played Hunt with Russ for most of the time.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah. That was It was a nice birthday weekend. I mean, I rode my motorcycle around and played video games. It was like, what more could you possibly want in this world?
That's not a bad weekend. That's not a bad birthday. It's not. It's not at all. I don't mind that at all. So cheers, man. Happy birthday. Yeah. Hope it was as relaxing and enjoyable as you wanted it to be.
It was. It was good. I had a fun time with everything. I'm not gonna lie. It was good to have like no responsibility. But I will throw out this complaint. I mean, none of my family listens to this, but my mom, I called her because her birthday was during the week, and I video chatted with her, said happy birthday, and got all that out. And she was like, well, if I forget your birthday, I'm sorry. That's just the way that things are these days with me. And I was like, that's fine. My mom's like, you know, got some memory problems. She did remember to call me on Saturday to let me know that like a friend of hers had given her like a fake plant.
Yeah.
With like LEDs in it and stuff. And it was like this, I forget what it was. Like it was like Freddy's glove or something like that, with like flowers sprouting out. But I was like, that's really cool. And she was like, that's awesome. And she still totally forgot about Sunday and my birthday. My dad sent me a Facebook message. I didn't hear from anybody else in my family until Monday. Like Monday, Tuesday, today, I heard from like my uncle and one of my siblings. That's it. It's like, wow. Wow. I am just that unpopular with my own family.
That's all right. My mother, who says she loves me, will often forget to call me on my birthday until my father tells her to do so. 3 years in a row, she forgot. And then like the next day would just like send me a text. And this is like somebody who like I'm pretty close with, like, you know, helps with the kids constantly. Like, it's not like it's not like I'm far from my mother's thoughts. So like her not getting in contact with me on my birthday at this stage of my life, it's just sort of a, you know, a gag. It's, you know, it whatever.
Yeah. It was just a funny thing with, I mean, I hear from my, like, I'll hear from my little brother like weekly, but like, he just didn't call or anything.
Yeah.
It's been, gotcha. It's been an interesting and funny kind of thing. It was a little bit, yeah. So I got older. I mean, like, technically I'm doing that all the time, but
congrats.
Yeah, I managed to not die,
which was not always something that we could predict.
Nope, that's true.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I heard from my kids, and that was really awesome. That was actually the highlight of my day, to be honest.
Sure.
Hearing from my kids and talking to them, and then riding my motorcycle, and then like a close third would have been video games. But it was really, really cool to talk to them, and they always make me smile. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Cheers. Well, speaking of things that are awesome, my name's Will and I'm an alcoholic.
Oh, my name's Tiki and I'm an alcoholic.
And Steve's not an alcoholic, but his internet died on him, so he's not with us right now. I don't know if he's going to pop back in later on, but we're going to get through this episode tonight, all right?
Oh,
We're not waiting for what? Why are you
speaking
shooting?
Of things with Steve, he suddenly like psyoped me. There's a spider in my kitchen the other day, and it was creeping along, and it went underneath my stove.
And I
was like, no, I was trying to get it because I was going to kill it. Because I'm like, I know a lot of people are like, I catch and release. And I'm like, good for you. I'm going to smash this thing to death.
Great job, moral warrior. There's a billion of these within 10 feet of me. I'm killing this one.
So like, even my dog is like, there's a spider. Like, she's like looking underneath. She's like looking at the stove, looking at me, looking at me. And I was like, oh, damn it, it got away. So it's like way underneath there. And I'm like, okay, cool. If it's underneath there, then that's maybe it'll kill mice or something like that. There's a pretty big, like, black spider. It was long legs and a really black body, and it was just really kind of weird looking. So I go down the hall and I go to the bathroom and I'm taking a dump and I'm like looking at shit on my phone.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, that's what you do.
Sure.
As one does, I'm like watching YouTube videos or something.
It's also a really good way to get pink eye later.
Yeah. It's something catches movement. I catch movement out of the corner of my eye. And I mean, like from the kitchen to the bathroom is like 30 feet.
Right.
But that spider has like walked into the bathroom at the door, which is at the far end of the bathroom.
And it stops and looks at you.
It stops a little bit, keeps going. And I'm like, what the? Yeah, it was freaky, man. Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
I wound up killing it. It just really like, it was like, because I was looking at it, I'm like, that's the same spider that I saw in the kitchen. Why? Did it follow me?
That reminds me.
Oh!
It reminds me of, have you ever seen, there was a show in, I think the like late 90s, maybe early 2000s, called Nightmares and Dreamscapes, based on Stephen King's short story anthologies. All right, there was one with, I think his name was William Hurt, was the name of the actor, but he ends up, the character that he plays in the short is an assassin. He kills a toy maker. A couple days later, this box of army men shows up at his house.
Yeah, I know that.
And
they try to
kill him. And it's a really good, I don't know. I thought it was really entertaining. Little, you know, vignette as it were. But all I could think is like, that's what that spider was like setting up to do. Like, it was going to make little spider war on you because it knew you were going to try to kill it.
But it had gotten away. So the idea that it came back and attacked that was a thing that happened over the weekend. That kind of weirded me out. It was like, oh my God, just sitting in the bathroom, looking at my phone. And then I look over to my right and I was like, son of a bitch, that spider is like, you know, cause then I had to think, you know, didn't know that I was after it.
Yeah.
Didn't know I was going to, you know, like, is this its way of coming in? Like, you know, anyway, so.
I bet he was like, hey, what you doing in there?
Oh, dude. So like I have this little like kind of table that I put next to my, it's a metal table that I put next to the shower,
sure,
bathtub. And it was like grabbing a hold of the bottom of the foot. Oh. The feet are like about the size of a quarter. It's got like a rounded out foot and a peg that goes right into it. But I started to lift it up because it was grabbing a hold of that. And I was going to like try and pick it up and kill it or sure. I don't know. But I'm picking it up and it like basically latches onto the bottom of the leg. So I just drop the whole thing and it crushes it. And I was like, okay, cool. That's dead. And my dog is like staring at me like, I don't know what the hell she was thinking, but she's staring
at me. Your dog was thinking, you going to eat that?
Yeah. She's looking at me and she looks down at the spider. So I look at the spider and you can, and like, its legs are still sticking out from underneath the, and they're twitching. They're like moving.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So that was,
How high pitched was that scream? Be honest.
Mine or
yours?
Oh, yeah. Mine pretty good. It was pretty good. I was like, I don't have any neighbors right now, so I guess I can scream as much as I want. But it was a really crazy, just odd. Like, anyhow, that was something that happened to me. It was a little bit strange, out of the ordinary, and it wasn't a bad movie that I'd watched. It was actually something that actually happened to me.
I feel like we can make this a bad movie. It would just be like, you know, guy taking a shit fights a spider, for like 90 minutes.
Arachnophobia. But then we sell the rights to the script. Hollywood makes Arachnophobia 2.
Can we get Jeff Daniels? Man, I'd love to bring him back. Big fan of Jeff Daniels. Big fan. Like that guy.
Yeah.
Big fan. All right. Cheers. Good psyop. Good psyop. Steve.
Yeah, I got to do it all. Just like what Steve would have done.
Yeah, just like Steve would have done. Although he wouldn't have talked about, you know, killing spiders because he wants one, which is.
That thing was just jet black, and it had, I mean, it wasn't the size of my hand, but like it made me, you know, like in my brain, I'm like always like exaggerating it.
Sure. Yeah. Just like fishermen. It was this big. Yeah.
It's those things where someone's like, if you were to like, okay, so like all these things on Earth evolved this way. And you're like, yeah, we've all got two eyes because that's what you need for depth perception. And they're like, no, spiders get eight. And you're like,
can they see through my soul? Why do they need so many eyes?
Why do they need so many legs? These fangs on the front too. It's like, oh my God, they're so just like
fangs on the front. They got little fingers on their butts. Oh God, it's weird.
They'll spin webs, and I'm like, well, I can't have that. You know?
Yeah, weird. I don't get it. Spider-Man would be much more interesting if he like had a web spinner in his ass. I think that'd be more funny.
I was in the Venture Brothers. There was a character that was.
Was there?
Yeah, I think he called himself like the
episodes of that show.
He was voiced by Nathan Fillion.
Okay,
but he like didn't have like a lot of lines or anything. He was just like a pizza delivery guy who, like, what do you call himself? Like the Brown Recluse or something like that. But yeah, he would shoot the webbing out of his like kind of his tailbone, anus area.
That's funny. between the tailbone and the
it's anatomically correct,
aka the chuckle.
Ooh.
Nice. All right, cheers.
Back to drinky topics.
So it has been 2 weeks, but here's the thing about those 2 weeks. Busy. I think I've played all of about 3.5 hours worth of video games in the last 2 weeks. That is not very much for me. Not very much. We have not been on stream, doing any kind of streaming, really. It's just a really, really busy time of year. My kids are both doing things. My wife with the new job. And then finally today, I started my new job. So it's just been so fucking busy that I don't have time to even think about like having a drink. The little moments when I'm triggered, it's like at the store, of course, it's like that season of the year where the Oktoberfest beers, which are my favorite beers, are out in full force. And I'm like, you know, walking through King Soopers, I see the display and I'm like, no, fuck you. I have to go get sprouts and cucumbers. God damn it. We've got dinner and nutrients to put into children and wives and a cucumber to put in my wife. So no time to even ponder the unmentionables of having a beer once again. It's just all go these days. So that's where I'm at. Still sober, still, you know, marching ever strongly towards 4 years coming up this December. Yeah. It's good. It's good to be sober. It's good to be moving forward clear-headed. Is exactly what you would expect somebody that's lying to themselves to say. But I mean it. I totally mean it. Tiki, how are you in your sobriety?
Ditto.
Ditto! That's the best word ever. My dad used to say that.
Same geez. I mean, I don't have any big updates or anything. I haven't had any temptations. It's just been kind of business as usual. I will say this. I am hyper aware when I go someplace. I'm like very aware of how much alcohol there is.
Yeah.
On that menu at any given time. And I'm also like really aware when somebody's making a drink near me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm over at their house and they're making a drink near me and I'm like, why are you like, it's an odd thing. Like we're just hanging out watching a movie or something. Like, why are you,
that'll teach you.
It doesn't register with me as well anymore. Oh, Steve, you missed my spider.
Actually, you know, that actually did work, Steve. That actually did work. I know that you didn't hear what he was leading into, but that did work. That'll teach you for standing there next to somebody making a drink, Tiki. That'll teach you, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'm not standing. I'm sitting on the couch or whatever. Anyway, that's a whole other... It's just a weird thing that I just, like I said, just being aware of it or having that awareness and having a different feeling about it now than I would have, you know, yeah, 4 or 5 years ago.
Sure.
That's all. It's just a strange thing.
I think you should stand next to them like that spider stood next to you and be like, hey, what you doing over there?
Spider like walking into the bathroom, like crawling around the corner. Hey.
Hey.
You didn't close the door.
You going to wash your hands after this? I've got to wash 8 hands.
Oh, God. But I will say this, that I'm rolling up on the end of the year, and I'm probably going to get another tattoo for that celebration, which would be like 4.5 years at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So, no, that'd be 4 years, because it'd be 4 years like come January. So December is right in there. Christmas, I'm gonna get another tattoo.
More ink. I see. I keep finding people that I don't expect to get ink. Getting ink, like I never thought that Kuna would get ink. He got a tattoo of a dog. It's a really nice tattoo.
Okay,
I never expected him to be somebody that would be like, yeah, I'll get a tattoo. But now that he's gotten one, I feel like he's gonna turn into the like old ADV style bike dude who's got like a million stories to tell, a lot of wisdom to give you, and like 60,000 tattoos. I feel like that's the what he's gonna turn into, that prototype,
more than likely.
Yeah. Did you pick out your ink yet?
I already know what I want to get.
Is it a Mandalorian helmet on your face?
No, not on my face.
Bummer.
That'll be a it'll be the Mythosaur.
Oh, skull. That's right. I think you told me
pauldron
this.
On my left arm.
Yeah, I think you told me this. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more nerdery. But I also like gonna have it like in a spot where like, you know, no one's gonna, you're not gonna know it unless you actually like, you
know you. Yeah.
Yeah, unless you know me.
Or like, see you in a bikini.
Or in a pool. But yeah, or both. In a bikini or a pool and a pool.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't wanna offend anyone out there, like, you know, going topless. That's just tasteless. So yeah. That's where I'm at with that's where, man. Yeah, that's where I'm at with everything. I'm doing all right.
Good, man. Good. Glad to hear it. Steve had to dip again. His internet is just acting the fool this evening, which is making getting any kind of commentary much more difficult. He's sending me texts, but I'm not going to read them out loud. I'll be damned before I read texts from my own co-hosts out live on this friggin' show. Not a chance. Not a chance, Steve.
That's the flea market bargain you get, though. I mean, really, it's above and beyond.
Well, your parole officer said I had to take you on. Like, I didn't have a choice. Like, the both of you.
Oh, well, I didn't know about that part.
Yeah,
he didn't mention it.
Well, this goes towards my community service. Hi-yo. Okay. So, tonight, since I have a new job, and since a lot of the things that I have kind of made cornerstones of my journey in sobriety are being disrupted in ways that I don't have suitable counters to at this point in time, what I wanted to talk about tonight was basically just the idea that while it's all right to get into set patterns and to create habits, especially if those habits are things that are going to reinforce your sobriety, for instance, in my case, my physical fitness reinforces my sobriety. I have said it before. I'll say it again. I stay sober so that I can get strong. I get strong to help me stay sober. It's cyclical, and I like it. I like doing that. However, now, in this day and age, with jobs and not being able to get to the gym early in the morning because my job's like 45, 50-minute drive away several days a week, it makes it hard to get to the gym. It makes it hard to get to the gym in the morning because I have children and a wife who, dig this, I do not dislike. And I think that's the key. I don't dislike them. So I like spending time with them. I like doing nice things for them. I like being home when I can be. It makes it difficult to get to the gym. Normally the gym is something that I do in the middle of the day when the children are at school. I take the dog for a walk, I go to the gym, I come back, I eat my protein, the children come home, we make dinner, we kibitz and goof, and then everybody goes to bed, and I play 15 to 30 minutes of video game, and then I go to bed. Well, that has been completely upended. So oftentimes I will get into spaces that become solidified habits that when deviated from gives me a certain level of anxiety, and I'm currently trying to deal with that level of anxiety. And the biggest thing that I think that I have been doing has been to take a look at my schedule, recognize the things in my schedule that are priorities, and start making sure that I'm giving time to those priorities. So, number one priority, my family. Now, the job is something that I do in service to my family. So, while I will say my family is a number one priority, I'm doing the job and making that a priority in service to them. Two, my workouts, my fitness. This is something that I need to make sure that I'm prioritizing. Today, I was going to go to the gym after I got home from work and got dinner done, but I recognized that I needed to put out a podcast episode, and because my sobriety is so incredibly important and is arguably one of the reasons that I work out, I have decided that for today, my priority is going to be creating a little bit of content with my friends. I will work my workouts into the week in places where it's appropriate for me to do that. But I will still continue to make those things a priority. So decide on what your priorities and goals are. Try to look at your schedule. Try to plan for each day. And if you can do it as far as a week in advance, it's probably going to make things easier, because 15 minutes of you just taking a look at your week, finding out exactly when you can do things and what you can do during those wins, can make the difference between you struggling with the breaking of your patterns, habits, and routines, and having that be something that you can deal with, having the stresses of, or something that could potentially lead you towards a place where you're anxious and possibly contemplating having a relapse moment, which would not be great.
Could be.
It really isn't. No, that was the tail end of the drinky topic for this evening. So no,
man, I've missed everything. God damn it.
You've missed so much. Yeah, you've missed so much. Steve, since you missed so much, but you're back now, do you have anything that you would like to share with the audience? You go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know where we're at. You've just finished drinking topic. I don't know how serious we're being.
You can bring us back to something ridiculous and stupid real quick, buddy. I mean, we can tell it. We can tell a dick and fart joke.
Like, no, right, it's fine. Let's just go.
Let's just go. All right. Well, you know, wait, is it fine? It's what are you talking about? It's fine. You don't want to say anything, or it's fine.
Well, yeah, I don't know where we're at.
Okay. All right. So, FOMO in gaming.
Oh yeah.
What do you think, Steve? What do you think I'm talking about?
I hate it so much.
I do too. Why do we hate it though, Steve?
Because we both have addictive personalities, and,
right?
That shit gets you.
Absolutely.
FOMO gets you. It does. Like, it is. I don't know about you, but when I experience it, I become obsessed with it, and I can't think of anything else.
Yep.
Except for the damn thing that I want.
Yep. I get it.
Yeah. And it causes you to spend money that you don't have. It causes you to, even though it's fine if you don't, like, right? Like, any given thing, at the end of the day, really changes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you want it?
I mean, it can change things. If you miss a bill because you were like, listen, I got to put down $150 for this thing that only will come around once a lifetime.
What I mean is more like, if I didn't buy that $150 worth of models, would my life have been any different?
If your internet gets shut down.
I don't think that's from lack of paying. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, buddy. Just spitballing. FOMO, or fear of missing out. This is a constant frustration for me personally. There is no advertisement on earth, no commercial, no jingle, no friend telling me about something that will work nearly as much as, hey, guess what? We've got a Kickstarter and it only lasts 30 days. I will pace and claw like a tiger in a cage who hasn't had a steak in a while and is looking at that little family of six and thinking, Timmy sure does look like he's hot wing flavor, and I would like that in my gullet. Very, very frustrating. Fear of missing out. Fear of missing every Kickstarter, every beta test, every early access game, every new game system. It is the ultimate in advertising when it comes to me, which I feel like somebody out there will use. One of our four audience members will use. They'll be like, I got a Kickstarter for you giving me money. And I'll say, I don't have money to give you. And they'll be like, well, you have a limited window. And I'll be like, shit.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Get on this. If you don't have this exclusive thing, your life is not complete.
What was last like Kickstarter or thing that is analogous to a Kickstarter that you couldn't pass up, that you had to do? And then, of course, like, you got it and you felt completely empty.
Oh, no, I felt fulfilled when I get mine.
Really? Like, for how long, though? Because I feel fulfilled for about 20 minutes, and then I'm like,
okay, what's next?
What else can I buy? What else is out there?
So for me, I mean, like, God. So many things. Like, I can tell you what the current thing is, which I have yet to purchase, which is the little preview battle group for
Chimera.
For the new War Machine Hordes faction that I really, really want. It looks so cool. I know that I'll be able to get it down the line. It's not like I won't, but I am so just worried that it's going to sell out, because it's going to sell out.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to sell out. The problem is, you know what's funny? It's going to sell out to the same 15 people that all these things sell out to.
Yeah.
Like, War Machine's not a big game by any
currently
metric.
Yeah.
Its heyday was probably somewhere in the, like, the 2010 to 2014 period in time, and it's starting to make inroads into game into local game stores now, but for the most part it fell pretty far away from where it was even just pre-pandemic, like the end of Mark III leading into pandemic left a I don't know about a sour taste in people's mouths, but, you know, people saw things that they didn't like about the game and were frustrated by it, which is kind of funny because this all feels like just nitpicking about, you know, which system of rules is going to be slightly more balanced than the others. Because, you know, I think War Machine and Hordes did the absolute best job of balancing a game since chess. And that's just literally the same two armies going at it, one starting a little bit earlier than the other. But War Machine's a great game, always has been a great game. Don't know if it always will be a great game, but yeah, it has certainly fallen off from its you know high and windy perch of about a decade ago, which is unfortunate. But it's just like the same, you know, small handful of people buying these kits and then selling them a year later because either they put them together and didn't like them that much, or they put them together and they're like, the next big thing is coming out. And they're like, well, I got to go get that one now. How am I going to figure up capital? I guess I'll sell these old, this old stuff. And, you know, that's waiting, you know, 6 months to a year for things to pan out and for you to be able to just, you know, pick something up on the secondhand market, because these models do not keep their value whatsoever. And I think you just recently learned that with a purchase.
Oh yeah, that was a good purchase on my part.
It was a good purchase. We saw those models this last weekend. Steve actually came over this last weekend and we got to play some War Machine Hordes, and it was a very good time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
thoroughly.
A fun game.
Thoroughly. So yeah.
Yeah.
Tiki, have you ever had an opportunity to kickstart something that you FOMO'd yourself into doing and you knew you shouldn't? I have a feeling I know what the answer to this is going to be.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, an emphatic no. Do you just never see any cool, shiny, fun stuff? Like, does it never resonate for you the same way that it does for Steve and I? Because for Steve and I, the instant that I see like a mecha or a, you know, figurine or something like that, or a new game system, I'm just like, I got to have that. I probably will never play that. I gotta have it. It must be inside me. I need to be inside of it.
No. it seriously doesn't. Okay. I don't look at Kickstarter. I don't pay attention to that. The I will say this, the best example I've had for all of that is my buddy Cinco has been really into it. You should ask him this question.
Yeah, that's
Cinco
a good point.
Loves all that. But he's got like stacks and stacks and stacks of board games and he has no one to play them with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I could get on the ground floor of whatever, but it's just gonna be another. I would have to go out and buy a shelf in order to put those games on, so that they can just sit there and collect dust.
I feel like you're gonna say, "And I ain't buying no damn shelf."
They look great on that shelf.
They would look.
They
good
would.
On that shelf.
They would. I would. Actually, I can already think about like a couple of shelves. I'd go to IKEA. I definitely shop that around, but yeah. Then we go back to, well, now I'm buying a shelf in order to put games on it that I've put a bunch of money into that I'm not playing. I may as well save my money and just buy a second motorcycle, and then that way at least I can ride it every once in a while when I don't feel like riding my other motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the problem with having two motorcycles. You can't ride both motorcycles at the same time.
Yeah. So no, that's just it for me, man. I'm not. It's not my jam. Sorry.
I don't know. We romanticize it when somebody with a lot of money does it. Like Jay Leno's garage, he can't drive all those at once. That's too
Nobody
many cars,
them.
Jay. But he has them. I know. I get it.
I
get it.
I own a ton
But he
of
made
mobile.
A show out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I own a bunch of Boba Fett memorabilia and toys. I mean, you can't fuck all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, a lot of them are still in their boxes. I'm that guy. But all that is to say that it's, you know,
nerd.
I totally get collecting, but getting in on the ground floor of something in order to like imagine if you'd been like the early adopter of like, say, the PT Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that car had a design flaw where the timing belt was mounted against the engine block on the sidewall. Which means that in order to change the timing belt in the car, you have to lift the entire engine out.
Oh.
And it's 8 hours worth of labor just to do this one task, let alone how badly they screwed up everything with like changing the oil, things like that.
Yeah.
Just imagine like being the early adopters on like certain things that didn't pan out too well. Like was it the Ford Pinto? Not too early on that one, I'm sure.
I just trying to imagine the people who are out there. I gotta have a Pinto.
Get a Pinto.
Have you heard about this car?
This car
is named after a bean.
So I just love legume flavored cars.
Apparently there's a bit of a history there that I'm not conveying very well. But there's just some things you don't like. I don't have to be on the ground floor of everything. And one of the things that I get annoyed by actually is when games, online games, get that early access, and it's like, I don't want to be your beta tester.
Right, right.
I'm not gonna pay you to beta test your fucking game. How about you put together a viable product, release it.
Yeah, why don't you create a viable product, price it, competitively, and then release it, and I will maybe buy it.
Yeah,
but if it's good enough, first, then everybody else is playing it first, and you're bad at it.
They're having fun, and you're playing whatever you were playing yesterday, and probably still having fun with it, but you're not having as much fun as you could there, Tiki. That's the problem. Every one of these products, I'm like, that looks fun. That looks like more fun than what I'm doing right now. And usually what I'm doing right now is texting and driving at the same time, which is, that's a lot of fun. That is a good time.
That's something you really wanted to be on the ground floor of.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You want to be the first lawbreaker. You're the first person where they're like, listen, we need to call this Pickett's Law. So that future generations know not to text and drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm there. Early adoption. It's a thing.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I follow you. Like in Ireland, they have Broderick's Law because of Matthew Broderick driving on the wrong side of the road and murdering somebody.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a thing. Well, no, the law isn't real, but that other thing, that did happen. He did kill somebody, and then he got out on bond and like immediately flew back to the States. It's like,
huh?
Like pretended like it didn't happen and just paid a huge settlement to the woman's family.
Wow, I mean, yikes! You know what's funny? I learned that that's something that happens in China.
What?
That if you get run over by a car, the family of the driver is responsible for any medical bills that the victim incurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is true or not, and somebody in the audience, if you know about this or research it, let me know. But apparently when somebody gets into an accident, like with a pedestrian, they'll run over the pedestrian and kill the pedestrian because it's less damaging to the family's financial situation to have a dead person than somebody that needs medical intervention.
It's like in the States, you know, when you like shoot somebody and they fall on the sidewalk out in front of your house and you have to drag them back into your yard so that way it's technically standing your ground.
Sure, yeah.
Castle doctrine.
That happens a lot, yeah.
Or if you just injure them really badly, you're like, fuck, I gotta bring this guy back into my house now and then chain him in the basement and then try and figure out what to do with him.
I chained him in the basement before he was injured.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about intent at that point.
He consented at the time.
Premeditation.
He consented at the time. What?
You say so. But yeah, no, I've been to China. Their healthcare, it's really not that expensive. I got a really bad sinus infection, terrible. And I'm a foreigner and I was there and it cost me.
They gave you ground up rhino penis?
No. I went to the hospital. They don't have like a lot of private doctor's offices like we do here. They have, you just go to the hospital. I will say this. I saw a bunch of women carrying their sons, their children from the street up to the hospital. And it was like, I mean, it must've been a good 100 yards. And these were like 6 and 7 year olds. So they were not small, and their mothers were carrying them. I thought that was really impressive.
That is impressive.
But I'm going to be spending around $45 total for the doctor. This is all out of pocket because I'm a foreigner.
Sure.
They have a pharmacy in the hospital. I went there. They gave me antibiotics, full regimens of that. They gave me two, not like dewormers, but like antimicrobial.
Say ivermectin. Say it. Say ivermectin.
No. These are shots. They give it to you like in a little jar, right? And they just fill up like one of those bags, and they just like. So I got the antibiotics directly into my hand. I had to sit around for 2 hours going through all the different bags, going straight into my hand, into my vein. Plus everything else that I got, and all that. I mean, it was $45, but I got a pretty good. I mean, you sit there with like the IV in your hand, mm-hmm. and they feed the tube in, and then they come out and they replace it for you as you do it. So, you know, in the States, that'd be like $150 every time the nurse walked on over to look at the bag.
Every time you could smell her, yeah.
Yeah, every time she was within like throwing distance. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't believe I think they have, for the most part, I believe they have socialized medicine. And it's their payer system is not, it's not like in the States. In the States, I would argue that maybe that would be a thing here because it's so expensive in the U.S. But I don't remember healthcare being very expensive over there. Nobody over there made it seem like it was, especially.
I wonder if it's like directly healthcare related, or if it's like healthcare and then like whatever productivity.
Could be liability, but I don't see that either, because in China you've also got the whole like, I'm really wealthy and I shot a guy in his, you know, in his pajamas in his house while I was drunk. Okay, that's gonna be how many years? I'm gonna pay a guy to do my sentence for me.
What?
You can do that. That's a thing over there. If you're like really super wealthy, you can like pay somebody to serve your sentence.
They don't care who goes to jail as long as somebody goes to jail.
Somebody's got yeah, that's how you hold people accountable.
Yeah, yeah. Real accountable. That's not a two-tiered system. All right, cheers. Right on.
Too much, yeah. but that was my experience there.
I'm not missing out on any of that. I'm not FOMOing that whatsoever. But
No. I don't FOMO anything, dude. Like I said, I don't look at Kickstarter. I don't really pay attention to all that stuff. It's really not my scene. It's
sure.
You know, it's like if you were to say like reality TV. A lot of people love reality TV. Cool. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. No, I get you. I do. I understand. Steve, what's next on the FOMO horizon? Do you have anything that is bugging the shit out of you right now that you really want to get?
Chimera.
Other than Chimera, yeah. Or is that it? Because if that's it, that's like fine.
That's the main one, honestly, which is pretty surprising that I'm not like foaming at the mouth for more stuff. I mean, there's always a few Transformer figures that are on the horizon that like I've yet to get.
Have you seen the auto transforming ones?
I have. I actually don't want those because they are very expensive, and I could live without that.
If you had the money, though.
I mean, if I had the money, obviously I would buy them.
Yeah,
you but would. Like if I had the money, you know, I wouldn't have as much FOMO.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that. There's always something. There's always something to buy. There's always something to buy and then collect dust. Always. There never won't be.
So and yeah, for me, that's definitely part of the problem. Is there's always something to buy, and then the things that I'm interested in. All the preview-y stuff, like, you know, knowing that it's coming out, but it's not out yet. I gotta have it, but I can't get it yet. And there's plenty of that.
I have a couple of Kickstarters that are from a while ago that I'm still waiting for. They're on schedule, so they're coming, but I know how I'm gonna feel. It's gonna get here. I'm gonna play with it for like a day, and then it's gonna collect dust. I can feel it like clockwork. Like clockwork, Steve. But, yes. You know, that's a lot of that is just because I don't get out and make a solid enough effort and attempt to, you know, play these games.
There's only so much time.
Yeah, there's only so much time. That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, unfortunately, I've been up since a little after 4:30. It's been a long damn day, everybody. So, I think that we're going to call this a truncated, a little shorter episode for the evening. Sorry, Steve wasn't around the entire time. Steve, I'm sorry you weren't around the entire time, buddy.
Again, get that, I blame
internet dial in. Yeah, he hacked you. He hacked you.
Tiki hacked me.
He's like, just, 1 second, I need to hack the planet. I'm going to start.
He banged on the keyboard, just like they do in the movies. All right. Couple strokes, and it was done.
Just a couple of strokes, and it's done is the title of your sex tape.
It's the second time you've gotten that off
I
tonight.
I like that the joke happened twice.
And both times were really good. Well done. Well done.
No, I did a psyops because you weren't around, and then, yeah.
Yeah, he did psyops. He 100% did. In your honor.
Oh, my God.
In your honor. The spider doesn't live through the entire psyop, though. Sorry, Steve.
That's unfortunate.
But it did stalk me through my entire, not my entire apartment, like half my apartment. It stalked me from like one end of it almost to the other.
So
caught me in a crapper. Oh,
caught you on the crap. That's the worst place to get caught by a spider.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
Pants are down. Your balls are just dangling there.
It's even worse is if they like try to climb into the middle of your shorts, your pants, and like, well, like the cats do.
Yeah.
And then you pull them up without thinking about it. Now you've got a spider
like you do
in there
with the cat.
But the cat, it's obvious when you pull them up usually.
I always thought that was just a lymph node.
Man, to me it's always the furriness that gives it away, but some other people say the weight.
Maybe I don't know, I like the furriness, the weight of it. I just always figure that if I pull up my pants and there's something really big in it, I probably throw in another rupture.
Yeah, but if it's a spider and it's small and it's lightweight, you're not going to notice.
It might crawl inside you.
Uh-huh. And then spider's lay little baby eggs everywhere. And it'll be like Charlotte's Web, and it'll just burst out of you. And like when people find you, there'll be like this note that says, "He should have checked his underwear." Like in the spider web, like up above your body, and they've all like crawled off everywhere else.
I would they have done that much? That many? I think they would have just said the same thing that they said in Charlotte's Web. Some pig.
just the word pig in a spider web, like above your body where you're laying there dead.
Pig.
Oh my God, funny. We got us another Charles Manson.
Charlie Manson case. So, anyways, this week I want to shout out two fellow sobriety-based podcasts. If you are looking for an alternative to the Save Versus Poison podcast, for a little bit of insight, I've got the Sober Dad podcast and the Sober Heathen podcast. Both of those guys can be found on Spotify, Google, Apple, all that stuff. They can also be found on YouTube. For more in-depth interview style YouTube content, I would go to Rich Roll, RichRoll. It's a great channel on YouTube. He's got a ton of followers, has conversations with some really, really, really interesting people, and is an alcoholic in an addict in recovery. I'm really excited. What
did you say his name was? Rick Roll?
Rich Roll.
Okay.
Not gonna give you up. Not
gonna let you down.
Gonna let you down. Never. Never, ever, ever. So yeah, Rich Roll, really, 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 really good stuff on their internets. But like every episode of the Save vs. Poison podcast, we like shout out to the mutual support groups that we hope you turn to in your time of need. I've said that so many fucking times, and now I stumble over it because I'm tired. Alcoholics Anonymous, 212-870-3400. Moderation Management, 212-871-0974. Smart Recovery.org, 440-951-5357, and Women for Sobriety, 215-536-8026. It looks like SAMHSA updated their website. They don't have the actual web addresses listed anymore. But you can Google all those: AA, Moderation Management, Secular AA, Smart Recovery, and Women for Sobriety. And then for those of you that need a little help in a group type environment, your friends and family of addicts, there's Al-Anon Family Groups, 1-888-425-2666, or you can Google that as well. From all of us here at the Save vs. Poison podcast, I'm Will.
I'm Tiggy.
I'm Steve.
And we wish you... Oh, shit, I almost forgot. We're taking a hiatus from the show for a couple of weeks. right at the tail end there, I almost forgot to say it. Taking a hiatus from the show for a couple of weeks to get schedules lined up appropriately to make sure that we are putting out good quality that we can be proud of on the show here. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Check and watch the Twitter feed or the YouTube, or the, excuse me, the Facebook feed for when we'll be coming back. You guys all take care of yourselves. And as always, warm, creamy regards. Good night, everybody.
You've just listened to another episode of the Save Versus Poison podcast. If you liked what you heard, please follow us, like, and subscribe on Twitter at @VS_save, on Facebook at the Save Versus Poison podcast, and streaming live on Twitch at twitch.tv/SVP podcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay safe, everyone.